Good morning, everyone. Good evening, whatever time you're watching. Good day, kind sirs and madams. We're so thankful you are here. I need you to let two people know this. God loves you, and God wants you to know the truth. Big long ones. God loves you, and God wants you to know the truth. God loves you, and God wants you to know the truth. He does. That's how we roll. You know it. God wants you to know the truth. So that being said, that's going to be the perspective we're going to have as we continue our series. Actually, we're almost done with our series on the Sermon on the Mount. We've been walking through this all of 2026. If you're first time hanging out with us, or it's just a reminder for you, we're walking through this series because this is Jesus's most famous sermon, most famous teaching, but it's often the most misapplied. It's often the most unfollowed or not followed and least obediently applied teaching of Jesus because it's so hard to live out because it goes against our natural inclination to stay in comfort and not be a kingdom people. And so what we're going to talk about today is something that's going to affect all of us, I believe, because it's really prevalent in the world today. Today we're going to be talking about, before we get there, the title of the message. Today we're going to be talking about how others can deceive us. Next week will be Father's Day, hint, hint. Father's Day, Alex Hamby's going to be bringing the preach of Hope Rising Ministries, and he's going to be talking about, again, in Matthew chapter 7, how you can build your life on the rock that will be lift through each and every one of life's storms. And then we're going to follow up the following week and wrap up the series with how we can deceive ourselves with what I believe is the scariest verse in the Bible. So we're going to kind of do things a little out of order instead of going straight down, but it's going to be something that I believe is going to be a blessing. And so to kick that off today, we're going to be talking and walking through false prophets. False prophets. Jesus has done everything to show us what a kingdom people will look like, and now he's talking how you and I can actually be led astray. How many of us know that guru that's got a little technique that got their $1 to turn into millions, right? If you just follow their way, their formula. But I want to ask you something. If you had a formula that turned a dollar into a million, would you be selling it? See, they're selling it to you because it don't work anymore. That's what they try to do. And that's what we have to understand. The truth of the matter is, if we'll have the ushers lock the doors and we take another offering, I'm just kidding. Here they go. Yeah, chain it up this time. I'm just kidding. That being said, wherever we are right now, you and I can have that in our Christian walk. We can have people who aren't Christians make us believe that they are Christians and lead us astray in our walk and lead us the wrong way and away from Jesus because we listened to the wrong person. And so that's why Jesus is teaching us right now how we can deal with false prophets, and he's just setting all of this up for us to continue to let us thrive in him as we abide in him. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to learn about what Jesus teaches us about false prophets. We're going to be in two places. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, briefly in Acts 17. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn there. If you don't have your Bible, as always, you can follow along for free with us on our free Vine Church app. We have that each and every week. It's a great resource for you to keep up with the changing schedules, what we're going to be doing throughout the summer, how to connect with us, how we can pray for you. You can get that today in your app store or just go to the vine.tv/app and it'll send you to your app store. But also each and every week, our Vine production team, Zach Candler and our Vine production team, will make sure wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, the scripture will be on the screen for you. So if you're ready to learn about false prophets today, give me an amen. And they all pointed at me. I'm just kidding. See, you missed that fun if you weren't here. So that being said, let's go straight into what Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 20. And it says this, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." Now, before we go on, you know my life verse is John 15:5. I mean, let's talk about it. It's the Vine Church. Jesus says this, that you and I are nothing without him. If we remain in him and he in us, we will bear much fruit. So you and I as Christians, our job, our calling is to bear fruit, period. So Jesus is saying, hey, those who are false prophets will bear bad fruit and will be thrown into the fire just like those who are not connected to the vine, that is Christ. That is people who don't truly know God but make you think that they do. So today is about how others deceive you in that regard. 2 weeks is going to be how we can deceive ourselves. And so what Jesus is teaching us right now is we have to have discernment. When he says, watch out, that is the caution light, the check engine light, the beware light for each and every one of us. Because if we don't pay attention, we can get thrown off course and hurt not only ourselves, but those we love. So let's unpack this. What are false prophets? What are false prophets? Because that's what's so important for us. False prophets are people like me. I'm not a false prophet, but let me make this clear. Our pastors, they're preachers. Right now in the world we live in, they're influencers online right now. And what they do is they can manipulate you and lead you astray because they give you bad ideas and bad advice that distort your view of God, who God is, and what Christ has done for us. Instead of resting in him and his timing and what he created us for. That's why in James 3:1 it tells us that not many of us should be teachers because we are held to a higher standard. I'm held to the standard to which I point you to the truth of the gospel. Now, how you receive it is up to you. I can't save you. I can't make you get into heaven no matter how much I love you. You can't get into heaven on my faith, and I can't get into heaven on your faith. But the truth of the matter is I'm held to account for how I pointed you to the truth of Christ. So how this plays out for each and every one of us, again, is there are Christian influencers. All of us have those online that may or may not actually be Christian. You and I are called to get the truth of the gospel out. Yes, use our platforms to do that. But for each and every one of us, we got to be reminded in 2 Timothy 2:15 how you and I are approved workmen who are not ashamed and we are able to clearly divide the word of truth. So before we share that truth, we got to make sure we can clearly divide it. In other words, the gospel is clearly presented. See, the truth of the matter is the thing that drove you deeper into your sin may not be because you decided just to go there. It's because you followed the bad advice of someone else that pointed you away from Jesus. Do you know how I know that's true? Didn't that happen in the garden? Satan used God's own word to Eve to deceive her. So what you've got to be reminded of with false prophets is they aren't dumb people. They're deceivers, just like Satan is, just like Satan was in the garden. Now think of the world we live in today with AI. You and I think we can find the truth by typing a question in a search engine and there's an auto-populated answer and we accept it as truth right away. But the problem is it's whatever that search engine sources as truth before we find the truth. That's where we can get messed up even more and more. And yes, it's great to have information at our fingertips. It's a blessing. It's an absolute blessing. I'll be honest with you, just 400 years ago, having a Bible in your hand was not normal. There are still places in the world that they can't hold this in their hand without their head being chopped off. We are blessed. So now let's not neglect having the Word of God in our hands. So that's why we look here for each and every one of us. We do what's called the Berean method, if you've never heard of that. That's in Acts 17, verse 11. It's going to be on the screen for you. But Acts 17, verse 11, this is talking about what the Berean Jews did with Paul and what I expect you to do of me as well, church. It says this. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. For they received the message with great eagerness, and look at this, church, examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. That is why we have a quiet time every day. That is why we dive into the Word of God. That's why I tell you, I may mess something up. You can come to me and approach me and say, hey, that's not what the scripture says. We should be able to do that with each other. Because the truth of the matter is, all of us fall into sin, do we not? All of us struggle with sin this side of eternity. And so that's why we are together as a church community, a church family together. And so you should examine the scriptures as the Bereans do. It's called the Berean method, just to see if I'm pointing you to the truth or pointing you to true. What is true? That should be true of anyone. So why is this important? We're coming down the pike of summer season here. And as we're in the pike of summer season, I grew up and you always heard this said, especially in the 80s, made famous. We are always one generation away from freedom being lost, right? But church, let's dig deeper than that. We're one generation away from the gospel not being clearly presented and it only being distorted if we don't share it clearly with every generation. It's why we have Vine Kids, church. It's why we do these things. We are one generation away. Will God's word return void? Absolutely not. God will still do his work, but we have been given an opportunity to connect with more people than ever before with the hope of the gospel. So that's why every week here at the Vine, we speak it clearly. We share it. We give an invitation every week so that many can find Jesus as Lord and Savior. And why this summer we're going to be diving deeper into how we can do that with each other. But the truth of the matter is we should, as we talked about on Thursday and just started on Thursday nights, this is something entrusted to us. This is a gift God has given us to be a part of him growing his kingdom. And because he's entrusted the hope of the gospel, this gospel message with us, we should always leave it better than how we found it, right? We should always share it with more than was shared with us, church. That's what we're called to do. Because when we do that, we go against Satan. We go against what Satan is trying to do with the false prophets. So let's talk really quickly about the areas that false prophets and teachers try to deceive you. What are some areas that false prophets and teachers try to deceive you? Well, the first one is the nature of God himself. They'll say that God is not who God is. More importantly, they deny the Trinity of God. They'll say God is not Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not uniquely one, but distinctly different. They will say the Trinity doesn't exist. And they will try to insert themselves into the Trinity. And that being the case, church, I just want to remind you that that is who our God is, a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There is nothing else. All three at the beginning, all three will be at the end. We will be there together with him, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In the beginning, we talk about it all the time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void and formless. Darkness was over the land. And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Genesis 1, verse 1 through 5. Jesus is the light. The Holy Spirit brooded or hovered over the waters, and God the Father was there. All three were there from the beginning. Uniquely different, distinctly one. Shared this last week, church. I want to tell you about who nature of God is and God's character. We talked about God's goodness, and we kind of scratched the surface on this last week, but I want to share it again. Only our God had love exist before creation. Every other religion in the world, God had to create something to love it. But our God is love before creation. No other religion, nothing else in this world has that. You and I do. That is who God is. Next, they'll try to distort your view of salvation and what salvation looks like. They'll tell you it's work-based. It's memorizing scripture. It's standing up before someone being confirmed. They will talk about five pillars, perhaps, eight steps to enlightenment. They will talk about reincarnation. And maybe, just maybe, if you're reincarnated to this type of animal, then maybe you'll be at one with God, or you go to this path of enlightenment and you will finally see who God is. But you and I know we are saved by grace through faith in Christ and him crucified and risen again. Faith in Christ alone. That is how we are saved. Nothing else. Anything added to that is wrong. Anything taken away from that is wrong. It's Christ, him crucified and risen again, and his grace of God through faith in Christ and his work is what saves us. The next, they'll try to distort your view, heaven. Heaven. All dogs go to heaven, right? I mean, they do, but still, I don't know. All dogs go to heaven, right? We want to believe that. If you want to believe that, you can go down the street to the Universalist Church, because that's what they believe, is that all paths go to God, so we might as well enjoy it while we're here. So again, I asked last week, does that mean Hitler and Stalin get in? Does their way work? Does it work? How about our government with taking the money and with stewarding our funds? Does that mean they get in? Does that mean because I've memorized all these Bible verses I get in? Absolutely not. See, no. Heaven, the only way to heaven is through faith in Christ alone. There is no other way. Anything added to it is wrong. Anything subtracted from it is absolutely wrong. The only way you and I get in is in Christ, Him crucified, risen again, and His finished work. There is no in between. That being said, the next way they'll get you is redefining marriage. They will redefine what God constitutes as marriage, a covenant marriage between husband and wife. And when a church goes down that path, they are substituting the truth of God for a college degree, for somebody who has a degree in something, who thinks they know something, who can break down scripture and can try to read Greek and can try to do this and say, well, God didn't mean that, God didn't mean this, but from the beginning, God created Adam and Eve to come together as husband and wife, as one, nothing else. Jesus, Father Himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Jesus, God in the flesh, will have a bride. You and I are the bride of Christ, His church. We will come together. When a church does that, you say, well, we reject people when we do that. No. I never said that somebody who's struggling with that can't be in the church. We don't hate the sinner. We hate the sin just because God hates the sin as well, because all of us are sinners in need of a Savior. And because God gave us this law in the Old Testament that Christ fulfilled, it made us aware of our need for a Savior, and Jesus came to fulfill it for us. So watch out for a false prophet leading you down that path. Here's the next one that gets led up into inside the church, speaking of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit Himself. See, a false prophet will tell you that the Holy Spirit creates chaos. Now, if you grow up anywhere in a charismatic movement, when that happens, a lot of time there's chaos. And I just want to ask you something. Where in the Bible did the Holy Spirit ever create chaos? In Genesis 1, He created order. He hovered over the waters. In Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit fell, did it say that the people were confused at hearing the gospel, or did they hear it in their own tongue for the very first time the gospel clearly presented? It was clearly presented. It was not chaos, but order. So if you have someone that is giving you chaos with the Holy Spirit, they are likely a false prophet. Next is this. The Word of God, the Bible, they will distort the Word of God. They will say the Word of God is incomplete. The Word of God is not inerrant. The Word of God needs to be held onto, and the Word of God has no authority on your life. That's those people who knock on your door early on Sunday morning. And I want to tell you, they're some of the nicest people you'll ever meet. Unlike me, as some of us Christians are. As Angry Bird Christians. But I tell you what, those people will wash your car, clean out your gutters. I'm just saying. Anyway, you got something for them to do. I'm just saying. You need something done. They'll take care of it because they believe they have to win you over that way. And how desperate is that? But you and I know this is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is completely complete. There is nothing that needs to be added to this. There is nothing that needs to be taken away. And when people fight that and say, well, what about this? Well, what about that? God answers all that needs to be answered in this. Truly. Everything else we find out in front of His face in heaven. Doesn't mean we can't question Him. Doesn't mean we can't walk through things, but it is completely complete. Beginning to end. None of it needs to be taken out, and none of it needs to be added to. So for those who say we don't sit under the authority of God, well, this is the Word of God, I would say they're probably not a Christian, and they're likely a false prophet. Because you and I sit under the Word of God. The next thing they get you on is sin. They'll say there's no such thing as sin. Everybody's got good in them. And they've never met a 2-year-old or a teenager because neither one of those age groups have ever lied, have they? If we believe that there was good in everybody, then why do we need the golden rule? Why do we tap that sign from Matthew 7:12 we were on a couple of weeks ago that says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you? Why do we do that if we believe that people are inherently good? Because we don't need that. We would all just do what's good. We wouldn't even need anybody to say it. But see, sin is something we all have. We are all clearly made aware of our sin. We know when we're wrong, whether we want to admit it or not. We absolutely know when we're wrong. And because of that sin, it separated us from an almighty creator God who created us to be in relationship with him. And he didn't leave us that way, church. We know that, the hope of the gospel. He came down in flesh itself. Jesus lived the perfect sinless life you and I couldn't live. Dies the death we deserve, paying the penalty for our sins. Sin's wage, paid in full, eternal, atoning sacrifice. Loves us enough not to stay dead, but rises again on the third day so that we could be in full relationship with God now. Anybody who preaches anything different than that is likely a false prophet, because you know what the truth is? False prophets give you just a little bit of truth, and the funny thing is, they want you to keep coming back. See, when I grew up, people weren't afraid to have pew-clearing messages. I know that sounds crazy. They called that the mushy middle, if you will. The lukewarm. Everybody's welcome in this church, but understand what I'm trying to say. I don't want you to believe you have a relationship with Christ and burn in hell because you don't. I want you to clearly know who you are in Christ. False prophets will give you just enough to tickle your ears to keep coming back. Do you know why they do? Because it's the only way they're fed. It's the only way they can keep in business. They got to just keep giving you a little bit more hook, 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 till they can reel you in. They're just going to keep going more and more and more and more. They don't care if the Holy Spirit offends you. They don't. They just want you to come back to feel good. And Jesus didn't come to make us feel good. He came to make us alive eternally with him. If you truly want to know what a false prophet is, as Jesus says here in Matthew 7, verse 15 to 20, look at what they eat. See what they devour. See, he says the wolf is in sheep's clothing, right? See, the sheep eat the grass, which is God's provision. The wolf eats the sheep, that is God's people. You'll see what they eat. And because of what they eat, you'll see whether they bear good fruit or bad fruit. Those who bear good fruit will continue eating the grass of God's provision and his green pasture, as Psalm 23 says. The wolf will keep seeing who else he can eat or she can eat and keep devouring and keep devouring and keep devouring. Wouldn't it be great if Snow White knew what was bad fruit and what was good fruit? See, the thing is, sometimes it takes a minute for you to find out if the fruit is bad or good, because it can look really good on the outside and be rotten to the core on the inside, dead in sin. But sometimes, you know what that means? We just have to trust the Lord, because he will reveal it in his time. He promises that whatever is in the darkness will be brought to light. As John 3:16 and 17 reminds us and goes on, as we talked about last week, 18 to 20, goes on to say, the people, though, chose to stay in darkness because they were afraid that their deeds would be brought to light. Instead of coming to the light and being set free from what they've done in the darkness, they would rather stay blind, dead, destined for eternal hell. And those people will try to deceive you and drag you there with them just to have a moment of a little bit of happiness on this earth. But you and I have the joy that's everlasting, the joy of the Lord, that is found in Christ Jesus. God loves you. God wants you to know the truth. So today, maybe pay attention. Go to Acts 17. Apply the Berean method to what you're doing, to what you're listening to, the podcast. Listen, I'm not telling you. I'm going to tell you right now. If you know anything about me, I listen to all kind of music. I'm going to tell you right now, you could throw some rap music on and I'd blow your brain. I'd not blow your brains out. That sounded awful. But I'd blow your mind. I'd blow your mind. Now you get it. See, it just took a second. I would. We'll put on some country music, give us some 90s country, I'll shock you. It is what it is. I'll listen to anything. I do. But that being said, I'm not telling you to throw all those things out. I'm just saying, look to what you're trying to find your joy and satisfaction in, because it might be a false prophet in your life. The words of the prophet Travis Tritt, you have the best of intentions from the start, right? Yeah, hey, there's your 90s country for you. But it didn't work out that way, right? To see what the false prophets are in your life, look at who you're listening to. See if they're just making you feel good or if they're driving you closer to God. If they're driving you closer to the Lord, you're not always going to feel good, but I promise you're going to be filled. And that's what I want for your church. I want you to be filled with God. I want you to know God more, his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. Not something where somebody says, well, that's great. You got to give me this to know God more. Give me that to know God more. Give me this to, you know, it's not going to be me saying, hey, you want me to pray for somebody? Buy my sash, right? I'm not going to do that. We don't do that. But church, that's what I want for you. But maybe right now, most thing that I want for you is to know Jesus as your Savior. We said it last week, and we say it every week. See, the religion in this world will tell you if you find the way, you might find the truth. And if you find the truth, then you can find life. But there's only one that's ever walked this earth that said he is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's in John 14:6, it says this, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Not memory verses, not a prayer we're going to pray in a moment, not how much you give, how much you serve, how good of a person you are. It's faith in Christ, him crucified and risen again, and Christ alone as our Lord and Savior. Faith. Faith. That's where you and I can't be deceived by others, because we have faith in Christ and Christ alone. We understand that it is our faith that gets us into heaven, our faith in Christ. Nothing else, no one else, not grandma's faith, not mama's faith, not my children's faith, my faith in Christ alone. So with every head bow and every eye closed, we're going to give you this opportunity to find out and know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. As we've shared clearly all the way through this, all of us are separated from God because of our sin. God can't be in the presence of sin. He destroys it. He kills it. But you and I are created to be in the presence of God. And that sin has separated us from God. And instead of leaving us in that state, he comes down for us and Jesus Christ to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Jesus lives that perfect sinless life you and I can't live, clothing us in his righteousness, dies the death we deserve on the cross, paying our sin debt in full eternally. All of our sin, past, present, and future. And he loves us enough not to stay dead. He rises again on the third day so that we can have this life forevermore, this John 10:10 full life, to be in full relationship with God, to get to know him more, to know who we are created to be more. So with every head bow and every eye closed, we're about to say a prayer. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And here at the Vine Church, no one prays alone. So with every head bow and every eye closed, please repeat the words of this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed, for the first time in this house, you have ever given your life to Jesus. You have trusted Jesus for the first time as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. If you're in the house and you've given your life to the Lord, if you're watching online and you've given your life to the Lord, we want to celebrate this decision with you. You can shoot us a message, shoot up a raised hand emoji. You can reach us through the app. You can reach us on social media. You can reach out at hello@thevine.tv. We want to celebrate this decision with you because you have given your life to Christ, and the way that you fully live it is found in a local church near you. So we want to get you connected with them. If the Vine is not right for you, we believe in the global church, the local church around the world, Jesus working through that. And for the rest of us in this moment in time, you can go ahead and look up. My prayer is that as we go into this time of worship, that we give the glory due Jesus' name for what his mercy has done for us, church, his grace and his mercy. Once we are reminded of that gift, we can't help but share it with others, and that's found in the living of a life of worship to him. So would you stand and worship with us?
Lost, and death and darkness.
Work its way in there. Let's just trust Jesus with every person he places in our path to know that there's a reason for it. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad somebody didn't just pass by me. I'm glad they shared the truth of the gospel with me and showed me my need for a Savior and let me get to experience God's fullness of his mercy and his grace. We hope you have an awesome week. We're going to be saving a seat for you next week for Father's Day. Again, hint, hint, if you haven't stepped up there, I think there's some grills on sale. Ties for Dad. If Dad doesn't like that, I don't know what to tell you. Dad, you know what to get him. So that being said, let's celebrate that together next week as Alex Hanvey of Hope Rising Ministry brings the preach. We hope you have a great week, and always remember, the best is still yours.